I would have it that, in some unknown way, I was the one who was doing this. I'd like to meet Mrs. C, sometime, and perhaps listen to her hint that she has psychic powers, and hint that she was the one who went around psychically, knocking down pictures in our house. The cord of this second, or fourth, picture was heavy and strong. It was beyond my strength to break a length of it. But something had broken this strong cord. I looked at the small nail in the wall. It showed no sign of strain. Of course I was reasoning about all this. Said I, if, when this house was furnished, all the pictures were put up about the same time, their cords may all weaken about the same time. But a ring broke, one of the times. Upstairs, one of the pictures had fallen in a kitchen, and the other in a living room, where conditions were different. Smoke in a kitchen has chemical effects upon picture cords. April 18, 1924 A took a picture down from the kitchen wall, to wash the glass London smoke. The picture seemed to fall from the wall into her hands. A said, another picture cord rotten. Then, no, the nail came out. But the cord had not broken, and the nail was in the wall. Later, that day, A said, I don't understand how that picture came down. There was nothing resembling a scare in the house. There were no discussions. I think that there was an occasional laughing suggestion must be spooks around. I had three or four reasons for saying nothing about the matter to anybody. July 26, 1924 heard a sound downstairs. Then Fanny called up, Mrs. Ford, did you hear that? A picture fell right off the wall. I go on with my account, or with the mistake that I am making. Just so long as I gave the New York something or another, or the Tasmanian whatever, for reference, that was all very well. But now I tell a story of my own, and everybody who hasn't had pictures drop from walls, in his presence, will resent pictures falling from walls, because of my occult powers. There are several notes that may indicate a relation between my thoughts upon falling pictures, and then, later, a falling picture. October 22, 1924 Yesterday, I was in the front room, thinking casually of the pictures that fell from the walls. This evening, my eyes bad. Unable to read. Was sitting, staring at the kitchen wall, fiddling with a piece of string. Anything to pass away time. I was staring right at a picture above corner of bureau, where the notes are, but having no consciousness of the picture. It fell. It hit boxes of notes, dropped to floor, frame at a corner broken, glass broken. There was another circumstance. I remember nothing about it. The notes upon it are as brief as if I had not been especially impressed by something that I now think was one of the strangest particulars, that is, if by indicating that I had searched for something, I meant that I had searched thoroughly. The cord was broken several inches from one of the fastenings on back of picture. But there should have been this fastening, a dangling piece of cord, several inches long. This missing. I can't find it. Night of September 28-29, 1925 A picture fell in Mrs. M's room. Note the lapse of time. I am sorry to record that a note, dated November 3, 1926, is missing. As I remember it, and according to allusions, in notes of November 4, it was only a remark of mine that for more than a year no picture had fallen. November 4, 1926 This is worth noting. Last night, I noted about the pictures, because earlier in the evening, talking over psychic experiences with France and others, I had mentioned falling pictures in our house. Tonight, when I came home, A told me of a loud sound that had been heard, and how welcome it was to her, because it had interrupted E, in a long, tiresome account of the plot of a moving picture. Later, A exclaimed, "Here's what made the noise." She had turned on the light, in the front room, and on the floor was a large picture. I had not mentioned to A that yesterday my mind was upon falling pictures. I took that note after she had gone to bed. I looked at the picture cord broken, with frayed ends. I have kept a loop of this cord. The brake is under and not in it. November 5. I have not strongly enough emphasized A's state of mind, at the time of the fall of the picture. E's long account of a movie had annoyed her almost beyond endurance, and probably her hope for an interruption was keen. Here is an admission that I did not think, or suspect, that it was I, who was the magician, this time. In October, 1929, we were living in New York, or, anyway, in the Bronx. I do not have pictures on walls, in places of my own. I can't get the pictures I'd like to have, so I don't have any. I haven't been able to get around to painting my own pictures, but, if I ever do, maybe I'll have the right kind to put up. October 15, 1929. I was looking over these notes, and I called A from the kitchen to discuss them. I note that A had been doing nothing in the kitchen. She had just come in, had gone to the kitchen to see what the birds were doing. While discussing those falling pictures, we heard a loud sound. Ran back, and found on the kitchen floor a pan that had fallen from a pile of utensils in a closet. October 18, 1930. I made an experiment. I read these notes aloud to A, to see whether there would be a repetition of the experience of October 15, 1929. Nothing fell. November 19, 1931. Tried that again. Nothing moved. Well, then, if I'm not a wizard, I'm not going to let anybody else tell me that he's a wizard. 21. I looked at a picture, and it fell from a wall. The diabolical thought of usefulness rises in my mind. If ever I can make up my mind to declare myself the enemy of all mankind, then shall I turn altruist, and devote my life to being of use and of benefit to my fellow beings. Everything that is of slavery, ancient and modern, is a phenomenon of usefulness. The prisons are filled with unconventional interpreters of uses. If it were not for uses, we'd be free of lawyers. Give up the idea of improvements, and that is an escape from politicians. Do unto others as you would that others should do unto you, and you may make the litter of their circumstances that you have made of your own. The Good Samaritan binds up wounds with poison ivy. If I give anybody a coin, I hand him good and evil, just as truly as I hand him head and tail. Whoever discovered the uses of coal was a benefactor of all mankind, and most damnably something else. Automobiles, and their seemingly indispensable services, but automobiles and crime and a million exasperations. There are persons who think they see clear advantages in the use of a telephone than the telephone rings. If, by looking at it, a picture can be taken down from a wall, why could not a house be pulled down, by still more intently staring at it? If, occultly, mentally, physically, however, a house could be pulled down, why could not a house be put up, by concentrating upon its materials? Now visions of the era of witchcraft, miracles of invisible bricks laying, and marvels of masonry without masons, subtle uses and advantages that will merge both AD and BC into one period of barbarism, known as BW. But the factories and labors and laborers, everything else that is now employed in our primitive ways of buildings houses. Unemployment and starvation and charity, political disturbances, the outcry against putting the machines out of work. There is no understanding any messiah, inventor, discoverer, or anybody else who is working for betterment, except by recognizing him as partly a fiend. And yet, in one respect, I am suspicious of all this wisdom. The only reason that it is not conventional mechanistic philosophy is that the conventionalist is more subdued. But, if to every action there is a reaction that is equal and opposite, there is to every advantage, or betterment, an equal disadvantage, or worsement. This view, except as quantitatively expressed, seems to me to be in full agreement with my experiences with advantages and uses and betterments, but, as quantitatively expressed, it is without authority to me, because I cannot accept that ever has any action-reaction been cut in two, its parts separated, and isolated, so that it could be determined what either part was equal to. I looked at a picture, and it fell from a wall. Once upon a time, Dr. Gilbert waved a wand that he had rubbed with the skin of a cat, and bits of paper rose from a table. This was in the year 1, of our Lord, Electricity, who was born as a parlor stunt. And yet there are many persons, who have read widely, who think that witchcraft, or the idea of witchcraft, has passed away. They have not read widely enough. They have not thought widely enough. What idea has ever passed away? Witchcraft, instead of being a superstition of the past, is of common report. I look over my data for the year 1924, for instance, and note the number of cases, most of them called poltergeist disturbances, that were reported in England. Probably in the United States more numerously were cases reported, but, because of library facilities, I have especially noted phenomena in England. Cases of witchcraft and other uncanny occurrences, in England, in the year 1924, were reported from East Barnet, Moncton, Lymm, Bradford, Chiswick, Mount Sorrel, Dudley, Hayes, Maidstone, Minster Thanet, Epping, Grimsby, Keithley, and Clystst. Lawrence. New York newspapers reported 3 cases, close together, in the year 1927. New York Herald Tribune, August 12, 1927. Fred Coet and his wife compelled to move from their home, near Ellenwood, Kansas. For months this house had been bewitched, pictures turned to the wall, other objects moving about, their pet dog stabbed with a pitchfork, by an invisible. New York Herald Tribune, September 12, 1927. Frank Decker's barn, near Freedon, NJ, destroyed by fire. For 5 years there had been unaccountable noises, opening and shutting doors, and pictures on walls swinging back and forth. Home News, Bronx, November 27, 1927. Belief of William Blair, County Tyrone, Ireland, that his cattle were bewitched. He accused a neighbor, Isabella Hazelton, of being a witch, which sued him for slander £5 and costs.